The Bible. The Bible. The Bible. It's the Word of God, living and active.
Sharper than any two-edged sword.
It contains all we need for life and godliness, and it reveals to us the mysteries of God. Join us for the next hour as we study the Bible and take your Bible questions. This is Exploring the Word on AFR Talk.
This is a terrific Tuesday. Years ago, I don't know why it happened, but the teacher in one of my elementary classes said, "What's your favorite day of the week?" Well, just about everybody said Saturday. For some reason, I said Tuesday, and the teacher asked me why, and I said, "Because it's not Monday." And so I love Tuesday. This is Bert Harper, and by my side today is not Alex McFarland. It is Jim Stanley. Jim, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Good afternoon, and thank you, sir. You know, I thought maybe it was because your mom was going to have pot roast for supper.
I don't know, but that would have been a good reason.
That's right.
Alex is out today, not traveling, guys.
No, he was at a conference this past weekend, and you said he spoke 11
times for 45 minutes per time. That's a lot of minutes, man.
Today, his voice is kind of tired.
Yeah, he's gone. He was on Today's Issues, and he was going to do it with Fred Jackson, and Tim was in another meeting, and Tim got out and came in. He heard Alex.
Yeah.
And Brent said he dismissed. It didn't sound so good. So anyway, this is Exploring the Word, and we love the Word of God. We love Jesus, but we also love to really just have a great time in the Lord. And Jim, I want to do this. We're going to get into the book of Exodus and Leviticus.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing the redemption line, the line of redemption through the Bible. And I've already said it one time, but I want to say it publicly since you're in here. Thank you for giving us that thought and that theme, brother. I've done it. This will be the fourth time, and I've already been blessed by Brent's enjoyed it. He said, "Man, this is a good deal." So thank you, man.
Well, it really is a good thing to look at, because so many people want to just simply dismiss the Old Testament out of hand and just say, you know, we're New Testament Christians or we're New Testament. And folks, please understand me. If you go to an apostolic church, I am not condemning you by any means. Please hear me. But there are some really good things in the Old Testament.
You're just missing some good stuff.
Yeah,
if you're not
that
doing
you're
that.
Leaving out.
Yeah.
And not you in particular, again, because I know we have some apostolic listeners, and I would not. I mean, there's a lot of great word in the New Testament. That's why we have the New Covenant. But as you look at that redemptive line, you can see, you know, we talked about the scripture says from the foundations of the world, you know, so we can see this from Genesis all the way through Revelation, where God had a purpose, where God had a plan for his word, because just like Genesis 1 and John 1, in the beginning was the word.
Amen.
Amen.
You speaking that, and I had not tied that in, but I was thinking about Jesus talking to the two on the road to Emmaus.
Mm-hmm.
And it says he opened unto them scriptures, and what he did, he just showed himself all through the Old Testament.
Amen.
And that's what we're trying to do. And in matter of fact, today we're going to do something that I love to do. This is my favorite type of preaching, is to find something either in the Old Testament and then find its counterpart in the New Testament, or find it in the New Testament and run it all the way back to the Old Testament.
Right.
We're going to do that today with a high priest, Jim. And before we do, I want to get this in, because you know me, it's kind of like preaching. After I start preaching, don't interrupt me, you know?
Right.
And but we, when I say we, AFR is involved in a new partnership with Preborn Ministries, and it's for Christian pregnancy centers all across the United States. Most of them now have ultrasounds. A few years ago, that was the campaign to get an ultrasound into the crisis pregnancy centers. Most of them have them now, as I understand it.
Well, and I know a couple that may not, that will benefit from this time.
So the more some of them that don't, they'll benefit from this.
Yes.
Because 80% of the young women who are any women who come and have that ultrasound and see that child, 80% of the time they keep that baby.
Yeah, they choose life. And this is Pro-Life Month, not just at AFR, but across the country. And there are a lot of ministries celebrating that this month. But this is the first time, and I don't know why, Bert. I can't tell you why it's the first time that we tied in with these folks. And they have a ministry, like you mentioned, across the country. They have a lot of different pregnancy crisis centers that they minister to and that they help support. And so this is one of the things that we're hoping to do. Your gift of $28 provides one woman who may be seeking an abortion a free ultrasound, and that gives the mom the opportunity to choose life for her baby, like we said a minute ago, and that's awesome.
We get that report. We are closely tied into our local one here, okay?
Right.
And we get praise reports quite often. We get prayer requests quite often, wanting us to pray for someone who has come in. And many times, they not only save the baby, but they are saved because the gospel
right.
is presented.
Right.
And so that $28 is one free ultrasound. $140 would provide five for five women, and they would hear the message. And 100% of the donation goes toward the pregnancy
center.
It does,
and we made sure of that. You know, it's one of those things that we wanted to make sure. Because a lot of folks do a lot of different things, but they said that for this campaign, 100% would go. Now, if you want to know how you can help, how you can participate, you can call 877-616-2396. That's 877-616-2396. Or you can also donate online.
Hey,
my southern accent broke through.
You are hanging around me, but it doesn't mean that you revert back. You know, I felt out of place, and I came. Well, I did not have the radio voice, and they'd say, "Well, you don't have that voice, but you got a voice." So anyway,
online at afr.net. That's what I was trying to get out.
Okay, thank you, Jim. Well, we want to jump into the scriptures. Yesterday, we looked at the book of Exodus. And we really looked at Christ and what he was seeing. But another place there is the high priest. And that's in Exodus 28. So we're going to cover two books today, Jim, Exodus mm-hmm. and Leviticus. And guess what? We're going to do what was talking about. We're going to jump over to the New Testament to see how that registers and is completed. But it's the high priest. Aaron became, who is the brother of Moses, mm-hmm. Was selected, and I use that word, selected by God to be the high priest. You remember Moses kind of wanted some help to go and speak to Pharaoh, but it's the funny thing. Guess what? You don't see him getting that help. He just did it, you know, after God helped him. He was able to do it on his own. But God still had another purpose for his brother Aaron, and that was to become the high priest, and his two sons would follow suit from the tribe of Levi. And so there's a lot of things in here. When they rebel, you know, at Kadesh Barnea mm-hmm. and do all that, Moses comes down. He says, who's on the Lord's side? And the people from his tribe, the Levites, they were the first ones to come over and stand with them. And so they, I believe with all that involved, Aaron being selected, mm-hmm. tribe of Levi, the tribe of Levi said, yes, we're going to stand with you. They were selected as a special group of people serving the Lord.
They were. They were going to be the ministers and be able to. But the thing that, as you were sitting there talking about that, I wonder when the Lord decided on Aaron. You know, because when you
I laugh at that. Sometimes I wonder what the Lord decided many times.
Right.
You know? But that's a good question.
You know, was it when Aaron listened and went and helped hold up Moses' arms, you know, during the battle? Was it the fact that Aaron was willing to seek God and in a more personal way? Because Moses was the leader, but Aaron was always the helper. He was always willing to serve his brother.
Who was the oldest? Aaron
yeah,
was the oldest.
That's right.
That's amazing.
And so when you look at that and you see that heart of service, that's what you've got to have to be an effective minister. And then when we think of Jesus and we think of the service that he did and how he ministered to his own disciples in the washing of their feet, he too was willing to listen to the Father.
Amen.
And so that's why he was also the high priest forever.
He was. And we're going to get to that in Hebrews. And this is the difficult of when I preach something like this, the difficulty is wanting to jump ahead.
Staying on focus.
Yeah, I got to get to Hebrews. But I did want to read this. It's in Exodus chapter 28, And there's a lot of things about the high priest. Let me give you three things, and I can give these real quickly before we go to break. One, the high priest had special clothing, okay?
Yes.
And the special clothing even served as a function. I won't go over all of it, but some of it was the breastplate.
Mm-hmm.
And on the breastplate, you had the 12 tribes inscribed with the jewels that they had. And so it was an amazing thing that he was the mediator between God and the people.
Right.
And those 12 jewels that were on the breastplate, close to the heart, covering the heart, meant they were close to the heart of God. And Aaron, the high priest, had that connection. Now, the difference in a priest and a prophet, Jim, is so important. The priest took the people to God.
Right.
A prophet would bring God to the people.
Yeah.
And we're going to find out Moses later on, probably tomorrow. He had both functions.
Right.
Moses did. The other thing I'd want to say about the high priest is his duties was carried out, and you find out several of those, but his biggest responsibility was the Day of Atonement. Mm-hmm. And that's really important because it's a picture of Calvary. On that day, once a year, he would go into the temple, the Holy of Holies, the innermost part, and he'd offer up two sacrifices, Jim, one for himself and then one for the people.
Right.
Now, when Jesus, he's the high priest, I just can't help but say it. Jesus, the high priest, and he offers up himself.
Right.
But it's just one. Because he did not need
sin
offering for himself.
That's right.
Isn't that not powerful, brother?
He lived the sinless life.
He did.
So that he could, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No.
Because if not, I'll get
Now, in the New Testament, we find out Jesus was a priest, but not after the priest of Aaron.
Right, after the order of Melchizedek.
Which we found in the book of Genesis,
mm-hmm.
which Abraham paid tithe to Melchizedek.
Right.
Now, we have this, one of the biggest questions that we've had here on Exploring the Word since I've been here is, who was this guy?
Right.
Was he a pre-incarnate Jesus? I believe he was a real person, not pre-incarnate Jesus. That's just my,
right.
He had the office of. That's mine. But either way, I could be wrong. That's one of those questions. When we get to heaven, we'll find out, or it won't be important.
I was going to say, it won't matter.
It won't matter.
So, I understand.
Okay. The other thing that I'd want to say is in 1 Timothy 2:5, and we talk about this, and this is the high priest. Jesus would fulfill that. One mediator between God and men, and it's the man Christ Jesus. There's no other person that fulfills that purpose. And we're going to talk about what the high priest did each time when he would go into the Holy of Holies when we come back. But Jesus, they had to do it year after year after year. On the outside, in the holy place, not in the most holy place, they had to do it day after day after day.
Right.
Because
there were daily offerings.
There were things
that had to be put on the altar every day.
Every day.
So,
but once a year on that Day of Atonement, the high priest would go in.
And you know me, Bert, I'm always on some of the things that may be quote-unquote more trivial. But if the high priest went in and he did not have himself at the ready like he should, if he did not make the atonement for his sin and tried to make atonement for the people, then he was killed, and they had bells on his robe and a rope around his ankle
so they could pull him out
when they heard the jingling stop. Well, folks, this is Exploring the Word on American Family Radio. Jim Stanley along with Bert Harper. We'll be back with you right after this.
We're in the financial business. We manage a couple of trusts and some estates, and of course, our own monies too.
Courtney Trotter talks about the charitable gift annuity from the AFA Foundation.
I understand annuities about as much as anyone, I guess, can. So I just felt the charitable gift annuity was a win-win situation for many people that still are generating income and still have assets, because you never know when you may have to draw down on something like that. And if you don't ever have to, then it's even a better gift to get to a really good foundation like AFA, a very solid investment, a good way to help do the Lord's work, and it's there to help us as well.
Find out if the charitable gift annuity can work for you by calling the AFA Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Growing into the person God wants you to be isn't easy or quick. But when it seems like you're not going anywhere but down, Dr. Tony Evans says there's an important word picture to keep in mind. He'll tell us about it today as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
There was a man one day who was ready to give up on God. He was tired. Unless you do something or say something right now. It says, if heaven opened up and spoke to the man, told the man, look around and tell me what you see. He said, well, in this spot I'm in, I just see some ferns and some bamboo. God said, exactly. He says, when the fern seed was planted, the ferns grew up very quickly, and they're lush and green and beautiful. When the seed was planted for the bamboo, the first year you saw nothing, the second year you saw nothing, the third year you saw nothing, the fourth year you saw nothing, and the fifth year you saw nothing. It was at the end of the fifth year that the first shoot of the bamboo came up. He says, the reason why the bamboo is 100 feet tall is because the 5 years when you saw nothing, it was growing deeper roots on the inside. Now, the reason it was going deeper on the inside is because I knew I planned for it to be 100 feet on the outside. Now, that fern isn't growing as high, so it could come out real quick. But because of where I was taking the bamboo, I had to allow things to go deep inside before I could show what it would look like outside. If God is taking a long time with you, it's because he's trying to take you deep on the inside because of where he plans to take you on the outside. Because the deeper he takes you, the higher he can take you, and you won't fall over when the bad times come.
Learn more about what God can teach you as you navigate the unexpected twists and turns of life. Check out Dr. Evans' teaching series, Joseph, Detours to Destiny, available online at tonyevans.org. Then join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word on AFR Talk.
Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain? Please let me stay and rest in your holy name. Word of God, speak.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Stanley. It's my privilege to sit in for Dr. Alex McFarland today. As I mentioned, Alex was at a conference this past weekend, and folks, I have to tell you, I never thought I'd have to say this, but Alex wore his voice out. And to know how long that brother's been preaching and how long that brother's been teaching and different things, but I'm telling you, 11 sessions at 45 minutes each. You gotta take a break.
Gotta take a break. Let me share this. If you need Alex is, you enjoy him on the radio, but you get him live in front of a group of people. His knowledge is always there, but his energy steps up a notch.
It does,
and mine does too. So that's really bad, Jim.
Right,
but. If you would like to have Alex in your church, go to Alex McFarland at alexmcfarland.com. And, you can look at the dates he has, and you got to plan ahead, about a year ahead of time.
Right.
He's close to full for 2017. He may have a few openings, but not a lot. And just a great guy. He'll bless your church. I've seen him operate within, like, a local church
right
here. And those folks, they even invited him back.
Yeah.
I mean, and a lot of places he goes year after year or every 2 or 3 years.
And folks, don't think your church may be too small for Alex to come to. And don't think your church may be too large for Alex to come to. Folks, Alex is basically like a mailman. He comes and he delivers the Word of God wherever he has been asked or called to do so. Because that's just him. That's who he is.
That's who he is. I just affirm him. The biggest blessing of my life, Marvin Sanders, when I came on board, he was co-hosting with Alex. When Marvin would come in and Alex couldn't make it, after I got here, he'd come in and say, Pastor. When he called me Pastor, I knew you wanted something. Yeah. And how about being on Exploring the Word with him? And then I jumped at it because that's after pastoring for 38 years, expositorily preaching,
right,
this is my thing. And God's and the journey has led to 5 years with Alex. Mm-hmm. He and I doing Exploring the Word together for 5 years. Amen. Jim, a lot of it, I appreciate it. But let's get back to that.
Let's do.
And you found the scripture there in 28 of Exodus. And I remember that.
Right.
And when I was preparing, I saw it, but God spoke to you through it. So
well,
share that with us, brother.
You know, folks, sometimes when we're off mic and we're talking with each other during the break, some good stuff comes up.
Amen.
Now, there's a lot of times some foolish stuff comes up, too. But in this particular instance, I told Bert when he came by and asked me today if I would sit in, as I was going through this, I noticed where God had set apart some artisans. Because remember, a few minutes ago, Bert told you that Aaron had special clothes, that the priest had special garments that were made for them. And God told Moses there in the 28th chapter in verse 2, says, "You shall make holy garments for Aaron your brother, for glory and for beauty." Why the glory? Because he wanted folks to see the embodiment of the glory of the Lord and what these people were doing unto him. And then for beauty, God enjoys beauty.
Amen.
He sees beauty in the remade heart. He sees beauty in the Christian or the person that has come to Christ and is a Christ follower. And then when you go on, it says, "So you shall speak." He's talking to Moses now. "So you shall speak to all who are gifted artisans whom I, God, have filled with the spirit of wisdom." So he called these people and set them aside, knowing, and they became very skilled. They were incredibly skilled artisans. But he said, "These folks are ready. They know what I want, and they understand what it is I want." So, folks, one of the things Bert and I said while we were off the mics a few moments ago is that everybody has a calling.
Man,
you know,
I believe it.
In fact, a friend of mine used to say, "Not called or not heard the call," and a lot of times we don't hear what God's saying. Amen.
That's good stuff. I just can't help but notice this. We expect the priest, the prophet, to be filled with the Spirit, but here's the people who are the artisans, the seamstress.
Right.
They were filled with the Spirit.
Right.
I want to tell you, the pulpit many times is as powerful as the pew.
Amen.
Promotes them to. I heard somebody come, and I've repeated it. I wasn't the first one that came up with this, but somebody came and they didn't like the pastor they had, and they said, "What should you do?" And they said, "Pray for him." "What do you mean, pray for him?" Said, "Pray for him that he'll get so good that somebody else will want him. And then after he gets that good, you'll want to keep him." I say that God has gifted every person with ministry.
Mm-hmm.
I think I said it yesterday. If he was only interested in saving us, he saves us because he loves us. He'd take us home immediately.
Right.
But he's left us here to be conformed to the image of Christ, and the only way you're going to be able to be conformed to the image of Christ is serve, because Jesus said, "I came not to be served, but to serve.
Yeah.
And I don't care where you are in the structure in your church, whether you're an elder, a teaching elder, a ruling elder, whether you're a deacon, a chairman of a committee, or whatever you are a servant. And when we forget that, Jim, we're off target, brother.
We absolutely are. And again, during the break, we were talking about Aaron and wondering when God decided to choose Aaron for his first high priest, for what he was going to do in the tabernacle, what he was going to do inside the Holy of Holies. And as Bert and I were speaking, because remember, Aaron's the older brother.
He's the older brother.
But he was always serving Moses.
In the Bible, there's something about the second one, Esau and Jacob.
Mm-hmm.
Guess which one, was Jacob was the one that was chosen.
Right.
And there's several times in the Bible where that is true. God hates pride.
Yeah.
I just want to tell you, they talk about sin being sin. I said, no, all sin separates you from God, but there's some sins that are more serious than others. And people, what is it? The sin of unbelief, which is fed by the sin of pride.
Right.
pride is a root sin that brings on all kinds of what I call fruit sins.
Yeah.
And so, and the Bible says God resists the proud. That's pretty strong, guys.
It really is.
He resists. He pushes back. I'll not hear you. So anyway, Aaron, I think you're right, demonstrated a servanthood, a mm-hmm. servant's heart, being the oldest, but yet
serving his brother.
Yes. Leviticus right. chapter 8 has a little bit more to say about that, the anointing of oil, the consecrating with blood. But here's what I want to share with you. It has the word commanded, and you'll see this. Let me read probably 1 through 5. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, take Aaron and his sons with him, and the garments, the anointing oil, a bull as a sin offering, two rams, and a basket of unleavened bread, and gather all the congregation together at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. So that means they've already made these things, okay?
Right.
Exodus, he was telling them what to do.
Right.
Leviticus, it's done, and now the activity is starting. You
yes.
catch it? You know? So there has to be preparation before there's activity. There has to be preparation before there's ministry. So Moses did as the Lord commanded him. I want to stop in there for a little bit. How important is it to do what the Lord commands? We shouldn't be haphazard. Life Action Ministries that we have some dealings with, especially in the prayer at the Cove,
right.
when we meet there, and
right.
Brian Paulus, they've really affected me and affected a lot of churches in a good way. But I learned obedience. They would drill this home to the children, to the youth, and to the adults that were in the meetings where I was. And it said, obedience is doing what the Lord said, all the Lord said,
right.
when the Lord said it, with a good heart attitude.
Yeah.
Okay? That's obedience. So Moses here is to do all that the Lord commanded. We get about the Ten Commandments. Was it Ted Turner years ago? You know, suggestions? No, they weren't 10 suggestions.
Right, they were.
They were 10 commandments.
Yeah.
And so the Lord, and Moses did as the Lord commanded him, and the assembly was gathered together at the door of the tabernacle of meeting, and Moses said to the congregation, this is what the Lord commanded to be done. And he keeps on, he washes him, he has the special garments, they anoint with oil, they have the blood put upon the altar. They do all those things that they were supposed to, but the thing about it, Moses said to the congregation, this is what the Lord commanded to be done.
Right.
Jim, on exploring the Word, preaching, teaching a Sunday school class, what people really need to hear is not what we think, but what we know the Word of God says.
Absolutely.
Now, I know some things are interpreted, and I understand that. We're talking about, you know, those apostolic, and there's
right.
others. And I understand some of the disagreement over
understand
this passage.
Understand where they're coming from.
I understand
yeah.
that. But I just want to tell you, there are some things that's plain. We're only saved through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father but by him. It is Jesus, and Jesus alone. And so we need to make plain, and you and I have talked about it, and I do my best to make sure we're trying to gather as many people in agreement
mm-hmm.
concerning Jesus Christ and who he is and what he demands. And sometimes we don't want to go with what he demands. We want to be soft on those.
Right.
Moses wasn't soft.
He was not, and nor was Christ. You know, because a lot of people want to remember where Christ called the children unto him and said, you know, let those kids come up to me. They're why I'm here too.
Amen.
All right? But at the same time, they don't want to talk about the Jesus who cleared the temple. You know, they don't want to talk about righteous indignation or righteous anger. But Jesus said, all I'm doing is what the Father has told me to do, or what God has commanded me to do. Just as he did then in the Old Testament, he did during the time of Christ and still does today through his word.
You can be bold and loving.
Right.
You don't have to be mushy.
No.
You can be bold and loving, and that's what we desire. Before we wrap up this and go to the phone calls, we got to go to Hebrews chapter 4.
Oh, can I
you
say got, something?
Yeah, go ahead,
before
Jim.
You do. When they took and they consecrated things, when they anointed things, they anointed the tabernacle. They anointed the altar. Folks, they anointed Aaron.
Amen.
Moses took and he poured some of that anointing oil on Aaron.
Holy Spirit, brother.
Yep, that's right. And so, because again, Aaron could not do anything without God. So the first thing he had to do as part of his consecration was to be separated and anointed to the work of the Lord.
Amen, Jim. And listen, we've been anointed by the Spirit of God.
Amen.
He pours himself into us, and we have been anointed to do the work of Christ,
mm-hmm.
not our own, not our choice. But here's what I found out. Most of the time, I know he can ask us to do some hard things, but most of the time it's right in with how he's equipped us and our gifts that we have, and he asks us to use those gifts.
Right.
And that's true. Hebrews chapter 4, and I do want to get to this because it's the climax, and this is what we're talking about. When you find it in the Old Testament and you follow through in the New Testament and you see it fulfilled, it just adds iron to my blood, spiritual blood.
Mm-hmm.
It's Hebrews 4, verse 14 through 16. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession that he is Lord, okay? For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need.
Amen.
That is Jesus Christ and no other. Jim, I just want to tell you, I was saved when I was 12 years old, and honestly, I was escaping hell. I didn't want to go to hell, and
right.
I knew it was a real place. I knew Jesus was the only way, but I got more than just out of hell. I got
right.
a friend that sticks closer than a brother. I got a mediator between me and the Father. I got someone who sympathizes with the areas of my life where I am weak,
mm-hmm.
where he can send his Holy Spirit and, you know, make me strong. Even in the areas of my life, I was a fearful kid growing up. And now, man, I love to plunge ahead. God can do that in a person's life, can he?
He can. And don't forget, folks, when you make this change, when you've committed your life to Christ and you've allowed the Spirit to live in you, and you're walking through this day by day, one of the other things he did is he's given you a co-laborer. You know, he's given you a comforter.
Amen.
He's given you these things because he loves you. And so as we think about that, and we think about the high priest, and we think about these different things, let's not forget the extra things that are there and that are simply waiting for us to use. You know, Bert, I confess today that I was not as prepared as I needed to be. So I brought in my laptop, and I took the appropriate amount of flack from you guys for doing that. But I've got the Logos or Logos, depending upon how you want to pronounce it, Bible software. And I enjoy it a lot, and it makes me smarter. You know, it's better than staying in a Holiday Inn Express. But it's one of those things that
it connects a lot of those dots, doesn't it?
It does. And it's got all these tools in here that I don't have a clue how to use because I haven't made the investment of time in it like I need to.
Yeah.
All right? By the same token, God has an enormous set of things for us to do, an enormous set of things that we can do through him. Because as Philippians says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me, being Christ. All right? So he's got all these things that he's laid out for us. But because of our limited knowledge base of who he is, we aren't able to use some of those.
Amen. I'm telling you, open up. Let God be God in your life. 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. We want to hear from you. Jim and I will do our best to answer those questions, especially those about Jesus, the high priest.
Amen. Or we'll send them to Alex.
That's
stick
right.
around.
What type of person does God use in revival? Many men and women throughout history have been used of God in great movements of revival. But what do these people have in common? First, they're discerning. They recognize the need for God to move among his people. They are determined. They no longer are satisfied with religious life as usual. They long for the fire of God to fall on his church once again. With steadfast focus, they deal with their own sin and then call on other believers to repent. They are devoted. Even if they have to stand alone, they walk in a manner worthy of the gospel. Discerning, determined, devoted. Would these ideals characterize your life? Could God use you in a great move of revival? This is Michael Catt for OneCry.com.
Sandy Rios in the morning.
This is a time of madness. It really is. This is from the Archbishop of Canterbury, Justin Welby. He said, evil attacks the weakest, denies truth and love, is defeated through Jesus Christ. And I just love that. Evil is defeated through Jesus Christ. And so let's not be afraid. And if you are afraid, then, you know, make yourself right with God.
Sandy Rios in the morning. Weekday mornings at 7 Central on American Family Radio.
Dan Celia of Financial Issues.
You know, there is so much uncertainty about what to do and how to do it when it comes to this incredible responsibility to be a good steward of what God's entrusted us with. Whether it's a lot or a little, it's irrelevant. But it's a very scary prospect today in this day of volatility.
Financial Issues with Dan Celia every weekday morning from 8 until 10 Central and Saturday from 10 to 11 on AFR Talk.
This is a Decency Minute. I'm Bill Johnson. What do the Vatican, Malta, Dominican Republic, El Salvador, Nicaragua, and Chile have in common? Abortion is not allowed under any circumstances. These six nations are joined by numerous others who only allow abortion if the mother's life is in danger. Even then, abortion is only allowed sparingly. Yet while many nations limit abortion, the United States is one of only seven countries in the world that permit elective abortion right up until the moment of birth, putting us in the top 4% of having the most abhorrent abortion policies in the world, a distinction we share with repressive regimes such as North Korea and China. Numerous third world countries protect the unborn, yet the so-called leader of the free world butchers them. Which is the more civilized society? May God bring us to repentance. This is a Decency Minute. I'm Bill Johnson.
AFR Talk. Connect with Alex and Bert on the Exploring the Word Facebook page. Facebook.com/exploringtheword.
Welcome back. Jim Stanley in for Dr. Alex McFarland. And I'm sitting alongside Brother Bert Harper. Before we go to your calls, by the way, that number is 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840 is the number to call for your questions today. Now, the other thing we want to remind you before we get to your calls is that we are in partnership with Preborn Ministry this week. And what we're hoping to do is help these folks raise money to provide services at the crisis pregnancy centers and help those moms who choose life, help them with some maternity and baby clothes, diapers, car seats, counseling, and much more. And all of these services at these crisis pregnancy centers that Preborn works with, those services are offered at no charge to the mom. And folks, I got to tell you, that's the same at most crisis pregnancy centers. Mm-hmm. I know the one that we have here, the one that's in New Albany, the one that's in Pontotoc, all of those services that they can do are provided at no charge to the mom. Why is that possible? Because people come alongside and partner. And so that's what we're hoping you'll help us with today. 877-616-2396. 877-616-2396. Are online at AFR.net. Bert, did you have any closing thoughts on Hebrews before we...
I do, and it's this. He's our high priest, and I remember again and again, he's the one that offers the sacrifice. Jesus is the high priest who offers himself. I just, that is beyond my ability to completely comprehend. Mm-hmm. I know he did, and he is the perfect high priest who has been touched in all areas of temptation. It doesn't mean he is tempted to drive 60 miles an hour in a 30-mile zone, but he was tempted in all areas, in every facet
right.
of our lives, that we are tempted, Jesus was as well. So he sympathizes with us. It's no excuse. Mm-hmm. Now, that's the last thing I want to say. It's no excuse, but he gives us the power. The Bible says we're more than conquerors. It says we're overcomers.
Right.
And we can overcome those addictive sins, those attacking sins, and even those generational sins. He can help us to be overcomers, Jim.
You know, earlier we talked about from Exodus 28, and we were looking at verse 2, where it says, for the holy garments for Aaron and your brother, for glory and for beauty. And then if you skip right down to chapter 5, there in Hebrews, the qualifications for a high priest at chapter 5, verse 5 in Hebrews. So also Christ did not glorify himself to become high priest. All right, so again, the glory that even Christ had, he reflected back to the Father.
Always.
And the high priest, that was their job, was to bring honor and glory to the to God.
Here's what I've noticed about the Trinity. The Father, he made much of his Son.
Mm-hmm.
The Son made much of the Spirit.
Amen.
And the Spirit makes much of the Father and the Son.
Right.
He really does. You remember Jesus says, I got to go away. If I don't go away, the Comforter will not
won't come.
And he needs to come. Ooh. Isn't that something? How they work. I don't understand the Trinity, and I don't
right.
mean to try to do it. I believe it, and I teach it because the Bible teaches it.
Right.
But it is amazing how they, and that's what we should do in the church.
Amen.
We should
make much of Christ.
Make much of Jesus. We really should.
Brent, remind me later, either today or tomorrow, that I have another song for you to work into the rotation of the bumpers that you use. The ones you use are great, but there's a new song out. Man, it's awesome. It's
we're,
from
we're
Chris
always
Tomlin.
Looking for new ones, man.
And so I think you guys will like it. And as you were saying that, some of the things you were saying are encapsulated in that song. And so we'll get that to you. But you ready to go to the phones?
I'm ready to go.
All right, you driving or am I?
Let me do this.
Okay.
I got used to this, man. Let's go to Texas and talk to Kevin. Kevin, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Well, thanks so much for having me. My question is about the priesthood, and in my studies earlier today, I was reading through a little bit of Samuel. Now, his parents weren't Levites, so how could he become a priest?
Okay. Was he adopted? Was he led into that? Does what you have in the book of 1 Samuel, you have his mother who was barren, okay? That's the biblical way of saying it, unable to have children. And she starts praying, and Eli hears, and so Samuel's birth it comes about. What tribe were they from? Kevin, did you read that? I was looking at it and trying to remember, but you may have already found it in your passage.
Yeah, they're from Ephraim.
Okay, that's what I was thinking, but I wasn't 100% sure. What happens if Samuel became a prophet, a priest? It was unusual for him. But he, under Eli's, you would say, tutelage, he became the priest. And I would say, you know, it's whether it's adoption or whether it's grafted in, it kind of makes me think of us as believers. Now, this is me talking, Kevin. You know, we're not Hebrews, we're not Jews, but we're grafted. You know, the Bible talks about in the book of Romans that we're grafted in.
Right.
So Samuel looks like an example of an Old Testament character that is grafted into the ministry. I use that illustration about David. In the Old Testament, you find out that the Holy Spirit came upon people for a task, and then he would leave them. Samson is the best illustration of that. But when you read David's account, it seems like he had an ongoing, you know, the Holy Spirit was in him, grieving the Holy Spirit. David would pray in Psalm 51, restore unto me the joy of my salvation.
Right.
And the Spirit of God. So you have what I think in the Old Testament, you have some examples of what God is going to do in the New Testament. And Samuel being a priest, I don't know why I had never thought about that, Jim.
I haven't either, to be honest with you, because it's one of those things that I don't necessarily understand. I'm always willing to search.
Yeah.
But I don't know the answer.
Well, again, he is.
I agree with what you're saying about adoption. I think that's a great picture of yeah. things to come, which is, again, one of the things that we're studying with the redemptive line is the promises in the Old Testament of things to come in the New Testament, including adoption.
I am going to remember this. I want to talk to Alex about that one. That's new for me, and I'm taking a stab at it, Kevin. I admit, looking at it, thinking about it, thinking it through, it would be more like the grafting in and it being a picture of what will take place, because we have pictures of that in the Old Testament, just like Jesus' appearance is in the Old Testament. Mm-hmm. They're pre-incarnate Christ, you know, and he comes along. Kevin, thank you for that, and I'm going to follow up with that one. Let's go to Louisiana and talk to Ron. Ron, welcome.
Hey, how are you guys?
Doing great.
Doing well.
Question I have is kind of it's really about confusion for me because I used to not listen to you guys, and I've been listening to y'all for a little over a year now, and my thoughts have changed because of you guys. And the question is, I know it's somewhere in Romans, and I think it's another place, too, that it says to obey the government and do what they say. It's about fighting for religious freedom. And I've always just thought that, well, we're just going to, you know, it's in God's hands. We have to obey the government because he appointed them. And then after listening to y'all, and I know that our God-given right is for religious freedom. So how do we fight for that? What does the Bible say on it?
Okay, great, great comment. And thank you for listening, too, and thank you for giving us the opportunity. The Bible teaches concerning what you'd call accountability of mm-hmm. each individual, Ron. Every individual is accountable, regardless of what kind of government they're in and to whom much is given, much is required. So if you're given great responsibility of citizenship, you're to fulfill that citizenship. Let me give you an example. Paul was a Roman citizen, okay? And he didn't use it all the time, but at two different times, he used that citizenship to get their attention and to accomplish some things. It's always for the gospel and the glory of God. Always, always.
Yeah. And one of those times was after a beating.
After a beating.
And he wanted those that had beat him to know that they had messed up.
And they knew they had.
Because they had beat a citizen. Let me tell you, when you were a citizen of Rome at that time, that was big stuff.
And so here in America, we have our citizenship, and I call it the stewardship of our mm-hmm. citizenship. That's a play on words that a preacher tries to come up with. I do. A stewardship of my citizenship. I'm to be a steward of the money that God's given me. I'm to be a steward of the gifts that God's given me. I'm also to be a steward of the citizenship that God's given me. And it's here in America so that I'm to vote. I am to let my voice be heard. That's why we have the action alerts. Matter of fact, let me just give you one. Right now, Jeff Sessions is being he's being questioned by the judiciary.
Right.
And our action alert is saying, call your senator and have them say, Jeff Sessions is a good man. And we believe that here. He's a neighbor state from Mississippi and Alabama. And he has so many good qualities. Not that we're saying everything he does is exactly right, but there's enough qualities in him that our leadership team, Jim, thought, hey, we need to really speak out for Jim Sessions.
You know, he's been the husband of one wife.
Yeah. For 47 years.
He is, now, folks, don't misunderstand. We're not trying to separate him from anyone else and say that but he is qualified to be the Attorney General.
Very.
Right? But he also, while this guy has been the senator of his state, one of two senators from Alabama, he's also a Sunday school teacher at a small country church. You know, that's like Tony Perkins, who comes up on Washington Watch
right
following us.
Yeah.
Tony has been a U.S. congressman, but he's still the pastor of a small church in Denham Springs, Louisiana. These guys, they show you what servanthood is about. Right. And I think that's what that's one of the reasons we are and we don't talk a lot of politics here, so don't misunderstand us.
But it was a perfect illustration to answer that question. Let me give you one more thing, and then we want to try to at least get to one more question, Jim. I use this quite often. I don't know if I've shared it with you, but After World War II, you had the United States and China.
Mm-hmm.
China, after World War II, communism had taken over China. The Japanese had been run out, but those that were for freedom were run out to Taiwan, and the communist control of China took place, and the church went underground severely.
Right.
Guess what? It grew underground. But the United States, 1945, you had an exponential growth of the church here in America. It's when Billy Graham came on the scene.
Right.
And you would have just thousands of people come into those crusades and hundreds of them being saved.
Mm-hmm.
And you had our denomination, Southern Baptist, their theme in 1954, far as their evangelism, was a million more in 54. And
right.
Guess what? They had it. It was great. Now, both growth, the gospel works anywhere.
Amen.
You got it? The gospel works anywhere under any kind of conditions. But while China was growing, guess how many missionaries China was sending out?
None. Zero. Yeah.
During that period of time, America sent out more missionaries during that period of time than any other time. That's why I tell folks the reason we want freedom is for an unhindered gospel.
Amen.
Okay.
Absolutely.
We got time for one more. Let's go to Texas and talk to Dennis. Dennis, welcome.
Hello. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
I wasn't able to get into your whole discussion about the priesthood, but I hope you have covered this, but most Christians don't seem to realize that in the Christian age, every one of us is a priest.
Amen, Dennis. Thank you.
You don't have to be a specific tribe. Now, even some of our own churches get this wrong. I know the Roman Catholics and the Episcopals believe you have to be specially designated as a priest. But according to Hebrews, that's definitely not so.
Matter of fact, it says, Dennis, let me comment on
Thanks,
so
Dennis.
With time. Matter of fact, it says we're a royal priesthood.
Right.
That's pretty stout. So what you have is, and we're getting to a little ahead of ourselves, but Moses, he was a prophet.
Mm-hmm.
He also interceding as a
right.
priest. You wouldn't say as king, but he was the ruler. So he was prophet, priest, and king. So Moses is considered a type representing what Jesus would be like.
Right.
And so Jesus, because of him being the high priest that went in and offered up him sacrifice, and the middle wall of partition was torn down from
right.
top to bottom.
From top to bottom.
We have, and this is a great word, Jim, access to
mm-hmm.
the Father, direct access.
We do. And our friends in the Roman Catholic Church understand what he was saying there. There are a lot of Christians in the Catholic Church.
They really are.
And they, you know, they may still observe some of the tenets of their church because that's what they grew up with. But it doesn't mean they've lost sight of who Christ is.
Well, what's happened, and I'm talking to friends of mine who are Catholic,
mm-hmm.
years ago when they started changing the language from Latin, and they could do it in their, you know, language
right.
of the people. And they started doing Bible studies.
Mm-hmm.
I always heard a guy
say,
"It
exploded."
Yeah, when you start studying the Bible, you'll probably get hijacked by Jesus.
Amen.
How many people that we know? Josh McDowell, Stovall. No, anyway, his name will come to me again. The case for Jesus.
Right. Strobel.
Strobel. Every one of those. Guess what? They went into the scriptures to prove
that Christ didn't exist.
That Christ didn't exist.
Yeah.
Guess what? They came out.
That Christ did.
Yeah.
So if we can never get Stephen Hawkins to make that, you know, if we can get him to take that trip through the scripture and find out about Jesus, that'd be awesome. Because let me tell you, that man has so many followers that, think about it, if he came out and said, "You know what, folks, I've been wrong. There is a Christ, and I know him now." So we're going to pray for Stephen Hawkins today. All right, folks, this has been Exploring the Word on American Family Radio. Been my pleasure to sit in for Dr. Alex McFarland. He may or may not be back tomorrow, but either way, Exploring the Word will. Stick around. Tony Perkins and Washington Watch comes your way right after news on American Family Radio.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.